Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Making Sense of It All with Jesse Stakes. You know, sometimes I wonder how effective social media marketing truly is. Well, what I'm about to tell you, I would absolutely categorize as a success story for it. There's a golf course down in Ocala, Florida named Golden Ocala Golf and Equestrian Club that was designed by a gentleman named Ron Garl. There's a number of tribute holes on this golf course that replicate some of the most famous holes in golf from around the world, and I've always wanted to play it. It's completely private, and I'm not friends with any of the members, so I've never really had a chance to. So I'm on Facebook the other night, and up pops an ad on my account. Now, Facebook doesn't track any of us, of course, and they don't listen to any of our conversations, but somehow they know that I enjoy playing golf. Well, the ad was for Pepin Gives annual charity scramble at Golden Ocala. Cue the spotlight from heaven. Angels start singing on cue. Golden flecks raining down from above. Okay, none of that happened, but I was really excited for the opportunity to play the course. Now, enough about me. Let's talk about why this really matters. So the event is being put on by Pepin Gives. Pepin Gives is the charitable arm of Betsy Pepin's real estate company, Pepin Realty. I invited Betsy and her marketing director, Ashley, to join me for an episode to talk more about the Florida real estate market and how they are giving back to the surrounding community by creating more affordable housing in Alachua County that is in such high demand right now. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Betsy Pepin and Ashley Tamayo. Let's jump into it. So, Betsy, for my audience, tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys do.
We are a full-service real estate brokerage located in North Central Florida. We cover coast to coast and go up to the state line and go down as far south as just shy of Orlando. So cover pretty much the center and north of the state. We offer residential and commercial real estate services. We have a property management company, title company, real estate school, kind of one-stop shop for the real estate customer as well as for agents.
So you guys do a tremendous amount, and we'll jump into each one of those. But before we do, I'd love to step back a little bit. What inspired you or what made you get into real estate in the first place?
I got into real estate in 2006 after a major life transition. I moved back home to Florida. I was in the Northeast doing pharmaceutical marketing and just found myself in a different life situation and needed to change environments. And when I got back to Florida, looked around quickly and saw there was no big pharma companies in the center of the state. So I had to really pivot. And when I was in business school in the Northeast, one of the classes that I had taken was, surprisingly, getting credit for gutting row homes in West Philadelphia. And
interesting.
Yeah, got to gut the row homes, rebuild them with donated lumber and labor and supplies. And then we interviewed at-risk families and we sold those houses at cost to those cost-burden families. So that was very impactful to me when I was in my 20s and seeing how a house could change a family's trajectory always stuck in my mind. So when I was going through this life transition, I thought, what way could I have an impact and do something that would really mean something to me? So I said, let's try real estate. And I said, I'll try it for 2 years. If that doesn't work out, you know, there's always a plan B. And so I tried it for 2 years and really, really enjoyed it. I mean, I knew I'd like it, but I didn't think I would love it. And I still 17, 18 years later, I still love it every day. I never feel like I'm working. And I didn't think that was possible prior to getting into real estate. So that's how I landed into real estate and why I'm here today.
I always think it's really cool because real estate, you know, you think about it as homes, you think about it as buildings, but really you're dealing with people. That's what, I mean, to your point, you're dealing with people, their lives, and how that building or that home is going to impact their lives. So I think that's pretty cool. So I know you said you guys have several different parts of your company. Real estate brokerage, obviously that's selling homes and being a buyer's or seller's agent. But talk to me a little bit about the other parts of the business. Let's start with the school, because that's pretty interesting. It's you're giving people an opportunity to figure out whether or not real estate is for them and then also be educated in it. Yes?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's been wonderful. We offer online classes. We offer in-person classes. We offer the Zoom option, the remote option, so we can service anybody in the state of Florida and have a really great instructor program. And it's just been wonderful to be able to counsel these students through their career, their process. And, you know, some people decide after the class, real estate's not for them, which is fine. Other people are looking to get their license just because they want to buy and flip homes on their own. And then you got the whole other side of the spectrum where they want to wean themselves off their primary job and make this a career. Or it's their first job out of college or out of high school, and it's something that's interests them. So we really get to help people through that process and help them decide, is this the right path for you? And if it's not, we've got other options for them. We've got the property management company. We're opening up a referral company where, you know, there are people who are highly networked in the community, but they may not want to practice real estate on a day-to-day basis, but maybe they want to earn a side income giving referrals to agents. So that's another option for them. So that's why we opened the real estate school, just to get to know those candidates better and get to help them navigate their career.
Very good. I got to imagine in today's environment in the state of Florida, you got a tremendous amount of people knocking on your door wanting to get their real estate license.
We do. Although, you know, the demand for real estate licenses is directly proportional to the price of housing. So it goes up, people want to become agents. And then as the demand for housing goes down, the demand for real estate agents go down.
Right. I think sometimes people don't realize everything that a real estate license is good for. Me personally, one of the things that I didn't realize is that in order to broker a business in the state of Florida, you have to have your real estate license.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a gentleman in our company that's all in his prior career. That's all he did was help people buy and sell their businesses. Yeah. You have to, because the state of Florida, at least, assumes that most businesses have some type of land associated with the sale. And that's why you have to have the license.
So tell me a little bit about the property management side of it. I'm sure that that's another part of your business that has exponentially grown in the last several years.
Yeah, it has, because as people can't afford houses, as the prices have gone up, and interest rates have gone up, you see a shift towards to the rental market. And then we also saw a shift in the rental market, the demand for rentals when COVID hit, because so many people could work remotely, and some of them still can. So the demand for rentals skyrocketed. So now it's quite expensive across the country to rent. And sometimes in some cases, it's even cheaper really to buy than to rent, because the price of housing for rentals is so high. But we do have a property management company, and we do residential. We'll lease commercial, again, throughout the state of Florida, single family, multifamily, the whole gamut. Mm-hmm.
And then you guys also do commercial real estate, which is near and dear to my heart. I mean, that's what I deal with on a regular basis. So, I mean, talk to me a little bit about that. I know that I have seen, you know, we saw so many multifamily complexes going up. I know around this area in Tampa, Orlando. I know down in Ocala, you guys have been booming as well.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the types of stuff that you guys get into. Do you guys have a passion for certain parts of it, or is it kind of a catch-all, anything that comes your way?
Yeah, it's a catch-all, anything that comes our way. Large tracts of land, equestrian properties, warehouses, multifamily, really anything that comes our way. A lot of the commercial that we get are people who own things, and we get them through the residential side, and then they're like, oh, by the way, can you help me do this? But yeah, we do all types of commercial, and we are actually looking to expand that division, and we are hiring actively for commercial agents, especially our office is in Gainesville, Florida, and we're looking to have some commercial coverage south of us.
Not to put you on the spot here, but what I see a lot right now is you see kind of a There's a saturation of certain things, like, you know, we talk about multifamily and there are so many apartment complexes that are going up. And then you see a lower demand for things like office space. Mm-hmm. Where are you seeing demand right now? What are you seeing that's needed in the state of Florida?
I would agree with you. The office space, especially large offices, the demand for large office space has gone down considerably. We haven't seen, I mean, I read about it all the time, but in our area, we haven't seen those office spaces being converted to residential, which I know is happening in other areas of the country, and I would assume is will happen here eventually. But we have not seen that. We have seen on the commercial side, as well as I'm sure you've seen in Jacksonville and in other areas of the country, but the mall conversions into hospitals, large entertainment centers, car dealerships, things like that. So we're seeing a lot of that. I would say those are the big trends right now in commercial. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things to where people are still figuring it out. And I think that, you know, to your point, people are getting creative with space, and we've seen it like a lot on the on coastal properties, especially in office spaces that were close to the beach. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that I'm starting to see being converted to an Airbnb, or you're starting to see some of the retail spaces that retail is no longer in demand, and they're starting to try to creatively come up with some sort of a rental space for, mm-hmm. you know, for like to compete in any of that short-term rental space. But, yeah. I think you're 100% right. I think that there's a whole lot of things that are kind of up in the air, and this is that opportunity right now where people, like, if they have some creativity, if they have some foresight into what's coming next, mm-hmm. they've got an opportunity to be successful.
Yeah.
Your crystal ball into the future, as far as what do you see, you know, where do you see things going here in the next 5 years in the state of Florida?
Well, you know, we're still having a positive migration to our state, which is great. And a lot of that is in South Florida, but we do see it up in the northern part of the state as well, because we've got really strong healthcare system here, and that tends to attract people. We also have in the Villages area, a really well-known, nationally known, you know, retirement, 55 plus active community lifestyle.
Do you want to sing the song? Kidding, totally kidding.
So I think migration will continue. As in other areas of the country, inventory, even in 5 years, will not be at normal levels. And I think a lot of the public doesn't understand that. They're seeing right now, they are seeing sellers doing price reductions, and they think the sky is falling, but that's not at all the case. The lack of inventory compared to where we were prior to the recession in 2008, we are nowhere near those norms. We can't make that up in 1, 2, or 3 years. So we're still going to have low inventory in the state of Florida. Right now, we're at 2.5 months of inventory, which means that if no new inventory comes onto the market, it would only take 2.5 months to sell everything we have. That doesn't correct itself in a month or two or in a year or two. So we're still going to have excess demand over supply, I believe. Hopefully, you know, interest rates will, after the election and next year and the years to come, hopefully the interest rates will come down to increase demand even more. We are seeing, you know, buyers right now kind of waiting on the sidelines, and homes have to be exactly what they're looking for and move in ready because they don't have a dime to spare to actually make a move and put an offer in. But I think we're going to still have the migration. We're still going to have low inventory. Prices are still, you know, quite high. When you look at us compared to the rest of the nation and compared even to our average income, it's expensive to live in Florida. And I don't think that that's going to change.
I don't disagree with you whatsoever. And I see it in my area as well, where you've got the medium price of a home has gone to almost $500,000. But the medium income in this area has still stayed at the same range that it was prior to COVID. Yeah. You're still in the North Florida area, you've got a medium income around $60,000. Mm-hmm. Well, that's for a family, that's not even for an individual. So those folks who live and work in the area on average, not everybody, but on average, they can't afford the medium price of the home. Mm-hmm. But as you said, you have this migration of people that are coming from other areas that either work remotely or they have money behind them. And for them, it's a deal still.
Yeah. We see that a lot. They come from the Northeast and California. And it's sad when I see local people can't compete with these cash offers that mean a lot less to those people coming from much more expensive areas than in our area. I think you kind of touched on something. In the next 5 years, I definitely think we're going to see an increase in demand for smaller housing. You know, we're already seeing an expansion into the more rural areas because it's cheaper. You get more for your money. We're seeing a much larger demand for mobile homes, manufactured homes. We're seeing a lot of families moving in together. We're seeing groups of older people moving in together, just trying to share that housing expense. More and more, like you talked about earlier, we're seeing people rent out even just a single room in their house to try to make the mortgage payment. We're seeing a lot more just creative housing options that this market is kind of forcing.
And so that kind of brings me to my next point. You and your company have set up a foundation to where you are trying to create additional affordable housing in your area, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, can you talk to me a little bit about what Papine's foundation is doing?
Yeah, so Papine Gives is our nonprofit arm for Papine Realty. Our goal is to build 10 houses over 10 years. So having built 10 houses in partnership with Alachua County Habitat for Humanity by 2032. We've already done two. We just broke ground on a home for an at-risk family in September. Papine Gives was able to donate $50,000 back in September, and we were all able to be on site as a company, our agents, families, to break ground. We have a team build day that we're actually going to go out to in December to work together with the family to build our home, which is really cool. Yeah. So that
can't be cheap. And so when you're investing money into building homes for folks, how are you able to raise that money? What are you doing in order to generate the funds to do so?
Sure. So we do several events throughout the year, and we're looking to kind of increase and build on that. We have a pickleball tournament usually in the spring. In the winter, we do a golf tournament at the coveted Golden Ocala Country Club and Equestrian Center. It's a very coveted course to play on, so that, of course, sparks a lot of buzz throughout the state of Florida. And we typically raise money with our fundraising events like that.
It's very cool. And I got to be honest, that's how I found you guys. That was my first introduction. Was it crossed my Facebook feed, an opportunity to play Golden Ocala. And for years, it's been a place where I've always said, hey, I'd love to play the golf course. And no one's ever been able to get me on. So I was like, this is a tremendous opportunity. But let's take it a step further, because I think it achieves exactly what you guys are looking to do. It caught my attention. And I would have had no reason to look other than the fact that it selfishly caught something that I wanted to do. But now we're having this conversation about what Papine Gives does. So, I mean, exactly. You know, mission accomplished. I think that's tremendous. And I think it's a really cool opportunity for folks. And you're doing it annually. You're doing it every year. Yes.
Yeah. We do it every year. And it's funny you said that, Jesse, because that's exactly why we picked that venue, because we knew a lot of people in the state of Florida might not know about Papine Gives, but they know Golden Ocala. So if they're not passionate about Papine Gives, they're passionate about Golden Ocala. So.
No doubt. I thought it was really cool. And it's like I said, it gave me the opportunity to learn more about you guys. Yeah. So you said you do a pickleball tournament as well. I think it's, you know, a lot of people use golf and they'll use, you know, entertainment type stuff to raise money. Do you see people coming in from everywhere to join the event?
We do on both of the events, actually, because we actually, you could speak to it, but we market it not just in our counties. We market right. it throughout the state. And because Golden Ocala is such a coveted venue, you can't play on it unless you're doing a charity tournament or you're a member. And pickleball has just become the hottest sport after COVID. So, right. you know, people are always interested in that. And we've had great success with that tournament as well. So we do attract people from all over the state.
That's excellent. So I know people are going to be interested in this after they hear it. If people want to learn more about Papine Realty and Papine Gives, where's the best place that they can look to find out more information?
Well, you can definitely reach out to us or look on our socials. We have Facebook, Instagram, YouTube for Papine Realty, and then also for Papine Gives. If they're looking for more information about our events for Papine Gives, you can go to papinegives.com. And we have an events tab that shows all of our upcoming events as well as past events, how they can get involved, what the current needs are. All of that is right there on the website.
Excellent.
I want to thank you both for joining me. I learned a lot today, and I think that there's an opportunity for people to get involved on an annual basis with you guys and do something a lot of fun that raises money for a really good cause. So thanks again.
Thank you, Jason.
I really appreciate Betsy and Ashley for joining me today. You know, the Florida housing market has been on a tear in recent years, and home prices have been skyrocketing. With the rising interest rates and in the inflation that everyone has been talking about, many buyers are wondering if the market is due for a crash, or maybe a more polite term, correction. First, I think it's important to note that the Florida housing market is not a monolithic entity. There's many different submarkets, each with its own dynamics. For example, the Miami market is very, very different from the Ocala market that we've been talking about. However, there are some general trends that affect the entire state as well. For example, Florida's population is growing rapidly. This is putting a strain on the housing supply, as we talked about during our conversation. Additionally, Florida is a popular destination for retirees and second home buyers. That has also been driving up the demand for housing. This has also increased the demand for affordable housing across the state, as wages for folks who are already here have not grown at the same rate at the rapidly increasing home prices. Now, on the flip side of all this, there are factors that could have put downward pressure on the Florida housing market as well in the years to come. For example, the rising interest rates are making it more expensive to borrow money to buy a home. Additionally, inflation is eroding the purchasing power of consumers, which could make it also more difficult to afford a home. So, all of this said, will the Florida housing market crash in the next 5 years? It's impossible to say, but probably very unlikely. Big thank you again to Betsy and Ashley for joining me. That's going to wrap me up for today. I'll catch you guys next time.